Ask the podcast coach for September 13th, 2014.
Let's get ready to podcast.
Hey, it's Saturday. It is 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. And hey, Dave's got a new camera angle. It's Ask the Podcast Coach, where we answer your podcasting questions live. If you're just joining us, you can find us every Saturday. askthepodcastcoach.com/live. That's where the chat room is. So if you happen to be watching this on YouTube, if you happen to be watching it on Spreaker, if you happen to be listening to it on Mixler, come join us over at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. And joining me, as always, is the one, the only, don't be fooled by cheap imitations, Jim Cullison from theaverageguy.tv. Jim, how's it going, buddy?
Greetings, Dave. Happy Saturday morning to you, and a chilly Saturday morning here in Bellevue, Nebraska.
I heard that. I woke up. It was 57. I'm like, whoa.
We got down to the 30s last night, so it was chilly here out on the plains.
Yeah, that's no fun. And I want to say hello to the chat room, which is always fun. Always got a great group of folks out there. If you want to get involved with the conversation, it's super easy. The number is 845-262-2401, 845-262-2401. And for anyone who cares behind the scenes today, if you're wondering, like, why did Dave change his camera angle? Because he could. But also this
one. And I asked him to.
Yeah. And also I can do this. Looky, the Mac has its own monitor now. Nice. There I am on. So I don't have to do the whole switchy thingy. That was always quite the hassle. And we all know that Dave needs to get a better backdrop, because I need a big banner that says podcast now or something. Or, that's on the line. The first thing I want to do is get the monitors off the desk. I want to be cool like Jim.
Not too expensive. Those are, you know, on Amazon you can pick up those monitor mounts for about $50.
You know what else is more expensive than you would think it would be? I was looking into getting the old mic flag.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, really?
They're ridiculous. I
mean, you can buy them on Amazon. If you have to read the reviews. So some of them are like styrofoam. And there's a bunch of YouTube stuff if you want to make your own. But I just want like a plastic one. And then if you have them print it, you're looking around $40 to $50. And then if you want to print your own, it's like $25. And then you can go buy your own stickers, which is probably the route I'll go. But I was like, really? $50 for a piece of plastic with a sticker on it?
I'm like, yeah. Okay. Yeah. No. And I see some people using them. I don't see everybody using them, but I don't know. I don't have one, obviously.
It's not a high priority. After I saw it, I'm like, yeah, that's that. We'll put that down the list a little bit. And hey, I wanted to. I think I'll go ahead and. Well, first of all, I need to make sure. Where is my? There it is. I'm like, where's my? No, that's the. There it is. I was like, I need to watch my phone call list. So it's a nice thing having that extra monitor now. I can have more stuff going here.
Yeah.
But last week, I believe during the show, it wasn't at all after show. It was at the end of the show. Miss Eileen was talking about Podbean. She had somebody ask about Podbean. And so I went over and looked at it. And one of the things that always kind of made me about Podbean, in fact, I'll throw this in the chat room. The cool thing is, the Podcasting Technology Resources Group, it's a Google Hangout. It's a Google community. Awesome people. And I threw this in over there. And it was one of the networks. I said, one of the things that's kind of weird, they have a lot of networks on their front page. And we were like, well, maybe they're scraping it, maybe they're not sure. And the cool thing is, I've had the pleasure of interviewing Mignon Fogarty from Quick and Dirty Tips. And I said, hey, you know, they're kind of showing that you're on this network. And she kind of went, well, that's news to me, basically. And there were a couple other things. At first, on their website, they had a link to a Twitter account that had no tweets. And I was like, that's odd. And then you saw later that here's their other Twitter account that actually had tweets. So I kind of wrote that one off, but it was just kind of odd that, you know, look, but basically Mignon said, I've never been to their site. We don't have any special relationship with them. The weird thing is, she said many of the feeds there are wrong. The logos of the feeds are wrong too, and there are typos in the network description. I'll need to see if we can get them to fix it or take it down. So, again, just to me, just kind of there's some weirdness going on at Podbean that I was like, because we're saying, hey, they have a redirect. They don't mess with your file name. You know, are they with it? And I said, and I actually sent them an email that basically called them on. I said, hey, just so you know, you're showing these people on your network. Are they on your network? And that was about last Tuesday, and have yet to receive an email back explaining why that is. So
could be one of these situations where, you know, it's three guys, you know, or whatever that are propping up this network, and you know, they're the last ones left, and you know, they're hey, let's make a run at this again, and they're trying to put some things back together, yeah. And they're severely understaffed, and you know, I because we've been talking about it, I moved my home tech tips feed out there. Just, I shouldn't say feed. I just started posting out there just so I would have some experience of,
yep,
what does it look like and how does it work? I hate talking some experience. Having a bunch of podcasts help, you know, you can kind of spread them around a little bit. And so we've put home tech tips out there. I'm using a free service and it's doesn't give you a lot of time. You get 50 megs of space and about 6 gig of bandwidth, which it's appropriate with 50 meg of space. Unless you're super popular, you're probably not going to blow through your 5 gig. But it only really allows me, and those Home Tech Tips podcasts are 10 minutes each, and I really can only keep about 4 or 5 of them out there at a time. So using the free plan, I have to delete one, rotate them in, and I keep four of them out there. And I push it out of my Twitter. I haven't had anybody. I have had some, like last week when I posted this show, I got 4 people to listen to it on Podbean. So, but that I promoted it through Twitter, and those are the only stats you get for free. So it's another option. But Dave, I think your concerns are valid.
Yeah, it's a little different. I'm with you. It's like, well, again, maybe it's a secondary. Like you said, it's a lot of work. You got to keep deleting stuff, and you can kind of
the dashboard is interesting. It's not easy to it's easier to post to than say a Podomatic or some of those kinds of services. They're easier. It's easy to post to. It's like Spreaker, you know, when you post your stuff there. The interface is nice. The dashboard looks good. The layout is nice. I mean, it's a good looking, at least on my PC, it's a good looking site. They upsell you on stats, so you can get additional stats for $3 a month. You get the audio for $8, you get the video for $18, an obvious shot at Libsyn from that standpoint. So, you know, if someone wanted to use it, again, we recommend you have your own site and your own hosting. One of the things I can't get out of this is that direct link to my MP3, and that's a no for me. If I can't get my audio file .mp3 off their website, I'm not interested in even using them. Yeah. So for my main feed.
My main feed. I know it's in there because I've been able to do it on other sites. It must be something that, you know, one of those things where you got to dig for it, and that's no fun. So the other thing I was looking for, and I had it, and I closed the window. So we're not going to talk about that. Hey, speaking of talking, if you want to call in again, that number is 845-262-2401, 845-262-2401, and you can also catch us at askthepodcastcoach.com/live.
Hey, I'll go back on that. They do have an .mp3. You're right. I just saw that. So, but it's a really crazy URL.
Yeah.
And it's super long.
Yeah, it's a
it's
little...
It's got a lot of special characters in it. Yeah. So...
what I was looking for, because I don't have to dig through my... I'll just summarize it. I had a client who, when you using the PowerPress plugin, and this is another example, sometimes you have to be worried because you think it's the plugin and it's not, that they would, you know, put the, typically with PowerPress, you copy from Libsyn or whoever, Blueberry, if you're using Blueberry, it just automatically populates it. But there's a little box that says, hey, where is your MP3 file? Which is kind of cool because that way you don't have to use Blueberry if you don't want to. They're a great company, but if you don't want to, if you're using Libsyn, you can use the PowerPress plugin. And so my client is doing that. They're using Libsyn. And when they did I forget what the verbiage is. It's not validate, verify. And so they did verify, and it would not put in the timestamp. It would put in the size, but not the timestamp for whatever reason. And the cool thing is, boy, I said this before the show. One of the things I really like about Libsyn and Blueberry is they have a great staff. And so I went over to their forum at Blueberry and said, hey, here's the deal. And my client had been very cool to make a video showing him doing this. And I did not know this. If you're, in this case, you want your, when you ID3 tag your MP3 file, try to make sure your image is less than a meg, which sounds like not much, but that's still, I told my client, I said, what I usually put in my MP3 file is the 600 by 600 image. And you could probably actually get by with 300 by 300, because usually if this shows up anywhere, it's through, you know, a phone or something like that. I know, yeah, here we go. I found my email. Here we go. Okay. The artwork that's being used in the MP3 is over 1 megabyte in size, which takes up space in the ID3 headers. According to Winamp, headers are taking up the first, a lot of bytes, nearly 1.5 megs of bytes. I would recommend resaving that image used in the ID3 tag as a JPEG. It will be substantially smaller than a PNG. So my guess is they're putting in the 1400 by 1400 PNG of the same resolution. He says the image does not need to be 1400 by 1400 either. And Angela says 600 by 600 or 300 by 300 works just as well for this application. So there you go. Uber geeky stuff inside the world of your ID3 tags.
Well, and I use 600 by 600 art inside of mine, and but I've had a designer crunch those down, you know, as best as possible, but mm-hmm. crunch them down. And mine's 22K.
Yeah.
I mean, they're small, right? And even my 14 by 1400 image, as big as it is just 55. So those are PNG images, and you can crunch those down pretty small. So yeah, you probably don't want to load. You have to be careful, especially if you design that yourself. You have to be careful that you're not jamming big files in those MP3s. Dave, what do you use for tagging? What kind of I'm a MP3 tag. You know, that's the software. In fact, I sent that guy a donation for that software. He does it for free. But what do you use to tag your MP3 files most of the time?
I use a program called ID3. Let me launch it here. MP3 tag.
Yep, same one.
Yeah.
Yep.
Same ones I use. The one I use. We actually have a message from, ready this? I'm glad I have a monitor. From the Spreaker chat. So Jim D, I'll go ahead and read this. But the best place to find us, Jim, is over at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. And I'm going to have to move the mic because my eyes aren't that good. Here it is. I'm a journalist who was about to launch a podcast based on my website, but the company I planned to cover sent their lawyers after me. I consulted a lawyer who said I did nothing wrong, but that I'd have to fight them in court, which I can't afford. What sorts of legal assistance?
Ooh.
Well,
disclaimer, we're not lawyers.
Yeah, everyone say it together. Let me see. I was about to launch a podcast based on my what kind of assistance is available to podcasters who want to do journalism but who don't have a legal team. Electronic Frontiers Foundation, maybe, depending on what you're getting into. But my advice would be, what, Jim, if you get a chance, since you're listening, I think, on the app, call in. It's 845-262-2401. Again, 845. No, don't use that pen. Use the other pen. That one doesn't have any ink in it. 845-262-2401. Because, we will all say it together. We're not lawyers.
Yeah, for sure.
But is this a company you work for? Because that does get sticky. And then you have to do things like realize that if you get fired, you don't get to take the podcast with you. You got to figure out who owns it and things like that. And that's actually probably something, if you haven't heard, another interesting topic. We've all heard that Adam Carolla had settled or just put down his podcasting troll lawsuit. Most people didn't realize he had another one. his friend of 30 years. Now, can we stop for a second and think about that? It's hard to have a friend for 3 years, let alone 30. And according to his friend, he said that Adam said that they were partners. In fact, this guy, according to him, when Adam got fired from his radio station, said, you need to start a podcast. And so Adam did, and now Adam's making boatloads of money. And at the time, for the first year, he couldn't pay his friend because he was still under the radio contract. Long story short, those two guys are in court, and Adam's saying, I never said you were a partner. And it's kind of sad because a 30-year friendship is going up in the flames of that. But, yeah, I don't know of any legal. I know, I forget the name of the company. Don't know if they're still around. At one point, there was a company that was selling insurance that if you got sued, you had liability insurance. So if you accidentally say, you know, whatever, Podomatic is the devil and they want to sue you, you would have insurance or something like that.
It doesn't have to be legal for someone to sue you, right? I mean, they can take you to court. If they just the threat of taking you to court is sometimes good enough to get you to stop, right? So the litigation action that says we're going to sue you is a threat in most cases. And so it sounds like to me that they don't want anybody talking about their product or whatever unless they control the press. And so this is an easy way, especially against podcasters, to say, hey, don't do that. We don't want you doing that. We do not want you even talking about us. And if you do, we're going to sue you. Well, the average podcaster is going to go, well, I don't have a team of lawyers to do it. I mean, whether you talk to a lawyer or not, you're going to pay money for this. So if you've got stacks of cash, you know, you're lighting cigars with $100 bills and you want to go after it, give it a try, right? But I would say, look, if you're going to do this and you don't have stacks of cash and they threaten to sue you, I think I would move on to something else to podcast about.
Yeah, there are.
At that point.
Exactly.
You know, unless it's a real passion or you feel a real conviction or you know, and Jim, come over to the Mixler chat too, if you can. I know you're listening to the app on Spreaker on your phone or something like that, but there's a bunch of good guys in our chat room as well. The question isn't should you consult a lawyer. You will absolutely have to consult a lawyer if they're going to sue you. So the question is it worth it, right? Is it podcasting about this product, is it worth it to you that much to have them do this? If it's not, just drop it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of spooky that way. That I've had people
I just don't know why I would. You know, I remember I was gonna do a podcast on Drobo. I had worked with them. I love their products. I was like, hey, let's start a Drobo podcast. And their marketing guy goes, why? You know, and at that point I went, okay, I probably shouldn't do this if they're not that excited about it. You know, so
yeah. I remember there was a person I was helping, and they were gonna do a podcast. And the name was the same name as their local newspaper. And I'm like, I think you might want to choose a different name. They're like, no, we're going to do this. They have the .com. We're going to pick the, and I'm like, you're headed in a direction that's going to be stormy at best. And then you're forever going to tell people that, oh my goodness, we have somebody listening from, what was that? Tashkent.
Uzbekistan.
Wow.
Uzbekistan.
That's very, very cool.
Uzbekistan.
Hey, when we come back from this caller, we actually got two reviews in iTunes. Ooh. So there we go. This might be, Jim, we'll find out here. Ending in 6233, you're on with Jim and Dave. What's your name and what's your question?
Hey, Jim and Dave. It's Jim from the chat.
Hey.
I'm calling in just to follow up. I really appreciate you guys, you know, picking up the question off the Spreaker app. So without getting into too many specifics, you know, Jim, I think raised a great question, which is whether or not you can do real journalism on a podcast. In other words, this whole idea of unless you really want to blog about this product or podcast about this product, you're going to get into trouble, move on, do something else. But in the world of journalism, I mean, how does it work? How do podcasters who are really sort of single proprietor, you know, single, one-man bands, to do anything that amounts to journalism when you have that kind of exposure?
For me, I try to back up. For me, everything I've done, I point, here's why I think this. So if it's I have the Blog Talk Radio, the infamous Blog Talk Radio post, 12 reasons why you should not use Blog Talk Radio. And I said, here's why. And I pulled right out of their terms of service. Here's this. And they do this. And so I based it up with facts. Now, you know, I guess if they wanted to sue me, I would say, well, okay, but here are the facts. What, you know, it's not an opinion in some cases. And Jimmy,
Dave, go ahead, Jim.
Well, yeah, so to which they would say, sure, you may have the facts on your side. Tell it to the judge. You know, it's going to take time and resources. You may have to go to another state to basically deal with the legal issues you're facing. And we have, and you know, and the company would say to you, we have the resources to do this, and you don't, and we both know it. So move on. And it really goes to a lot of broader issues about media, because one mm-hmm. of the great powers of podcasting and of blogging is that suddenly you have a microphone, suddenly you have a platform, and you can do things that were never imaginable 10 years ago and find an audience for it. The flip side of all of this is, you know, go ahead and try. I mean, the fact is, if you're working for the Washington Post or the New York Times or for a major radio station, you've got a team of lawyers down the hall who have your back. And in this world, we're all, you know, all of this entrepreneurial journalism, and, you know, it's a great freedom and it's a great power, but you're handcuffed in ways that I didn't really fully appreciate 5 years ago. And I just, you know, I think, Dave, you mentioned Electronic Frontier Foundation, and, you know, there are resources out there, but, you know, it's hard to get someone to pick up a case and say, yeah, well, you know, there's not enough legal help, I think, to deal with what potentially could be a pretty big crowd.
Yeah, that's, you have an absolute point. And if it's a big company, you know, God help you if you say something bad against Monsanto, right? Because you could say they're trying to, they're trying to have a monopoly on food. They're going to ruin the world. Okay, well, and I guess at that point, you put your podcast out as long as you can and then pull it down when they say make it go away and hope they don't sue you for damages. You know, it's, I guess that's a, can you say what your podcast is going to even be about that you're thinking about, or is that just, will that get you in trouble?
Yeah, I'd rather not.
Okay.
I mean, I'm kind of, you know, I've moved on from that project, and I'm trying to launch something else. But, you know, that previous experience is in the back of my head, just saying, don't fool yourself, because as soon as you get, you know, whatever the subject, you know, as soon as you cut a little too close to the bone, you're going to be in the same trouble. It's not, it wasn't particular to that subject matter or that company. I think it's just the nature of the beast, you know, and that, which is to say, podcasting is great as sort of a communications tool, and I mean that in sort of, you know, a public relations tool and a way to reach customers. And I listen to tons of podcasts, including yours, Dave, but it just strikes me that, again, from a journalism standpoint, it's a very tricky game. It's a very hard thing to do.
Yeah, I know some folks. I know one that's all about global warming is here and we're going to ruin the world. And I know another person does a podcast that's like, global warming is crap and you're all crazy. And they all have their facts. And I guess in that case, unless you're maligning a scientist, you know, there's no real, you know, potential lawsuit. It's not like Mother Earth is going to sue you. But it is a problem when you start talking about companies.
Let me say, though, that, you know, podcasting is really just another form of communication. So this ties in if you're a blogger or if you're even speaking in public. So I don't want to say, you know, you should be careful as a podcaster because you could get sued around every corner. Well, that can happen anywhere. And so, you know, I think you want to be careful about your content. You know, I've done 500 podcasts, about 250 or 300 of them have been around consumer products. And certainly we've gone head to head with Microsoft on some of the things that they've done. And they choose not to do that, right? They choose to just let that go. And so we've been, you know, we have been fine in that arena. And I know plenty of podcasters who say plenty of negative things about companies, and those companies have not come back. Now, if Microsoft came back to me and said, we don't like what you're saying, and we're going to sue you if you're going to do this, guess what I'm going to do? I'm probably going to stop saying those things. Is that wrong from a journalistic standpoint? Probably. But I don't work for a company that can back me, like you said, Jim, with a set of lawyers that could you know, back me up.
Right.
That's the thing, right? But if you're going to be independent, yeah, you're going to. I mean, I don't think we've lived in a world where an independent journalist has been able to say anything they wanted to for 100 years. So it's not – I don't think that's unique to podcasting. I think that's unique to the legal world that we live in, the litigation world that we live in here in the United States, where we sue for everything. So I don't think that's unique to podcasters. I think that's probably a big problem in general, and that's just something we have to deal with.
You know, one question for you, Jim, which is you don't have to tell me your numbers, but how much of the fact that Microsoft leaves you alone is because you may or may not be big enough that you're really a sore on their side? Imagine that you know, you had 100 times the audience you do, or 1,000. Do you think that calculus would change, and they would say, oh, now we got an issue. This guy's talking to a big enough audience. In other words, the reason they leave you alone is because, you know, we're so big and you're so small, and really what impact
yeah.
is having. And
yeah,
I say that with all due respect to the great work you do.
Yeah, no, I totally understand. I think that's probably some of it, although probably the number one podcaster that does stuff for Microsoft is very negative against them at times. Very positive, very negative. I think, and they've chosen not to go after him either, right? They allow that to go on. And so I think they've taken a stance on it. They're going to take the good with the bad, and I think that's what smart companies do. They say there's some potential here, and we're going to let the good with the bad happen, and they just let it go. So I think in this case, it's probably they're just choosing. I mean, could you imagine the expense and the cost of going after every single person that said something bad about Microsoft? I mean, that would be awful for them, right? So I just think it's one of those things. It sounds like you hit a nerve somewhere, and I think that's pretty unusual for what happened to you in that case. And I think generally overall, almost everyone else who chooses to do a podcast does not worry about litigation from the people they're podcasting about.
Yeah,
that's a big general statement.
Because you have two sides of it. On one hand, they can't go over every single podcast that starts up, and they probably shouldn't, because that guy's got 18 downloads, and then he's got 30, and then the ones they go after, because they might hear them, have a bigger audience. Well, now do you go after that guy? Because he's got a big microphone to say, hey, I'm getting picked on. I'm just a little old podcaster in big old meanie company, and now you've got negative connotations because you're the big bad wolf.
Yeah.
So,
do you want to be known as a company like that, Dave? Do you want to be known as a company, right? All of a sudden, if you're going after everybody, does that create so much negative press for you that you're seen as the bad guy? I mean, that is kind of some motivation for them not to do this, right? Because it creates negative press.
Yeah.
So, Jim, I it's a great question, and I think people have to think about this kind of before they dive in, especially if they're going to go niche and cover a particular company.
Well, I'll leave you guys with one thought. It occurs to me as we're talking, and that is I blogged on this subject and on this company for about 4 years, and it was, you know, it was admittedly niche in its own way. It wasn't until about 10 months ago, I had made a note that I was thinking about putting together a podcast built on this. But without going into too much detail, it was the audio piece of this project. I started doing audio posting. I wasn't formally a podcast, but there were some audio segments that I did on the blog. That was the last straw for them. In other words, they let me write, and I went on at enormous length. But as soon as I started introducing, you know, audio and basically distributing the audio essentially via email, I hadn't launched the podcast, that's when I started getting the legal notices. And I mentioned that just because it hadn't occurred to me until we were talking, you know, maybe it just carries a different kind of power to them. In other words, was Ooh. I reaching a much bigger audience? No. Was I doing it in a profoundly different way where you actually heard voices of the people involved? Yes. And it was, you know, I think it was more compelling. All of a sudden, oh, yeah. You do kind of sit back going, whoa, this is so
yeah, now you're
food for thought. But
very cool. Yeah, it definitely does have more power to it. It makes it more real. I know when I went from doing a newsletter and a website to a podcast, I instantly got more feedback. It just makes you more real, and it makes it more believable to a certain extent, even though every blog, you know, but it does turn it up a notch with that. So,
yeah, absolutely.
But
thank you both for taking the call
and
for all the work you guys do.
There you go. Well, now just pick a different.
All right. Take care.
Yep. Take care. That's an interesting
and Dave,
discussion.
I think we have to remember, just saying it's your opinion does not necessarily like excuse you from libel, right? It's like, well, that's my opinion. You can't. Well, no, you said it in public. That changes the equation. So I think, you know, we just kind of say, oh, this is, it's an opinion-based podcast. Well, that doesn't matter. You're still saying it. So it sounds like we have another call.
We do. Ending in 0240, you're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and what's your question?
Hi, can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Great. I'm Craig. I'm calling from Valencia in Spain. Thank you for taking the call.
Yes. I'm sorry, what was your name?
Craig.
Craig, thank you so much for calling. And I was too excited that I had somebody from Spain to write down your name. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening. It's just, here's that word again. I get giddy when I get people, when I'm smacked in the face that I'm going worldwide, I get giddy. So, Craig, thanks so much for calling in. What's your question?
Okay. I wanted to ask you guys about your opinion on multiple podcasts around the same theme, whether you'd keep them usually on the same website URL or open separate URLs for them. I'm using the Appendipity Child theme, which you recommended in the past, Dave, and I'm very happy with it, but I'm not quite sure whether it would be a good idea to open a similar podcast using the same theme, or whether to keep it totally separate, even though they're connected. I'm an English teacher, so the one I'm doing at the moment with a co-host is general English teaching to Spanish speakers, and the one I'd like to open is also teaching English, but it's more exam-based. So there's a definite connection there, but I'm just wondering whether I should keep them separate.
Well, for me, if it's you always go back to your audience. So, like for this show, Ask the Podcast Coach. I have askthepodcastcoach.com where this show is put on, but I also put a copy of it on the School of Podcasting, because in that case, I think people that come to the School of Podcasting would also find the show educational and entertaining, and I think they would enjoy the show basically. So, in that case, I don't mind doing that. I do have separate you can always have separate URLs, because you can point a URL at anything. And you could even have I think for a while Cliff Ravenscraft, I think for a while what's his show? Podcast Answer Man was just pointing to a category on GSPN on his main website. So there's a lot of ways to do that. The things I think that would kind of be deciding would be maybe SEO. So if your topics were really different, it'd be kind of weird if you ranked really high for, you know, podcast equipment, and then all of a sudden I started talking about weight loss on the School of Podcasting. My listeners would be like, what is this? And I'm like, well, it's still my show, so I don't think that would fit. But if it's in this case, if you're still talking about English, it might actually work better, because the one that's exam-based, is that something where you have, like, a membership to teach people, or what's –
Well, it's kind of like it's kind of promoting our main website, so it's kind of a side thing. So it would point people to the main website, the Exam Pace podcast, but I don't really want it to interfere with the podcast I'm doing with my co-host, because that's a separate thing. So to avoid any problems, maybe would I be an idea to keep it separate, but I'd probably need to buy a new theme, right? I'd probably need to spend out the money to set everything up again.
Yeah, the cool thing is I met Joey at Podcast Movement. I've known him for a while, and from what I hear, they have a new theme coming up probably by the end of the month that is one of their most flexible, and it's specifically designed for people who have multiple podcasts on one website. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, and I told them, I said, you know, if you're looking for beta testers, I'd be more than happy to play with that. But I know that's coming very soon. And it's never, you know, me, I have separate sites. I've done both. I tried separating out my shows. I used to have a show called The Power of Podcasting, and basically I broke out portions of the School of Podcasting into separate shows because I thought, well, maybe some people just want to hear about making money. So I had the More Podcast Money show, and then kind of the Because of My Podcast segment, I turned into More Power of Podcasting, and about four episodes into it, my audience went, why are you doing that? Now I got to run all over the internet to get your content. Keep them all in one place. So,
Yeah.
But Jim, anything to add to this?
Yeah, well, I'm the opposite of you, Dave. I started with the network site, so I have theaverageguy.tv, and every single podcast I've done under that brand. And then I just use category or channel podcasting in PowerPress to separate those out. So for me, it just made sense with what I was doing to kind of put them all under one umbrella. I didn't really want multiples. I started looking at setting up, okay, I got to get another URL, you know, and what happens when you change the name of the podcast and those kinds of things. And I actually, when I first started doing this years ago, I looked to the Twit model, right? The Leo Laporte and Twit. And he has a single site where he does all his podcasts. And it's kind of, you know, I thought it would be easier for people to remember one URL to come to and then separate out those podcasts on the site. One of the things that you have to do differently, though, is I didn't like the traditional drop-down blog where, you know, post down the page and then, you know, it lists. And so if you go to theaverageguy.tv, you'll see I've broken that up with a theme to have a more modular look. So I have one for Home Gadget Geeks, the podcast we do. I have one for Cyber Frontiers. I have one for Home Tech Tips. I have one for Ask the Podcast Coach. And I actually do post. I cross-post for SEO purposes from here to Dave's site, so we pick up some SEO on that. And so it's just, you know, Craig, I think it's just you have to kind of weigh your options either way. It's double work if you're going to split them up. It's a little less SEO if you put them together. So you kind of have to weigh that out and think it through and say what's best for you. And you, I think you can go either way. Dave's done it separately. I do it all in a network. What's best for you? You could do it either way, and I think you're terribly successful.
What's your URL, Jim? Your website?
Yeah, really easy. Just The Average Guy, all one word, theaverageguy.tv.
Great. Well, thanks very much for your help. That's given me a lot of food for thought. I think I'll send an email to Joey and chase up that theme that Dave recommended. And, that's some really good advice. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you, Craig. Before you run away, what's your website?
Well, the main website is mansioningles.com. That's run by my business partner. But the podcast is hosted on inglespodcast.com. That's Ingles podcast.com.
You've called
it's
in.
It's very basic. I haven't had much time to. I have called in before. Featured me a while back.
Because somebody recognized your voice in Vietnam, right? Or North Korea or
that's
something?
That's right. Yeah. You got a great memory.
Well, that was a great story. So.
It was, I'll look into that, and I'll let you know how it goes.
All right. Well, thank you. Thanks so much, Craig.
Dave, before I go, what mic are you using? Because you've come away from the ATR 2100. Is that a Rode Procaster you've got there?
The ATR is right here. This is the Electrovoice RE320, and this is what I use when I if you miss the story, I asked them, I said, can I test your microphone? Because I read about it and it was supposed to be the workhorse many times in a radio studio is the RE20. This is the RE320. And this was kind of like its knockoff little brother. And I'm like, hey, can I try one of those? And they're like, sure. And I'm like, cool, awesome. So I tried it and I went to ship it back and they go, do you want to buy it? And I'm like, how much is it? And they're like, about $300. And I go, no, but do you feel like bartering for it? And they said, well, maybe, what are you talking about? And I did advertising for about a month and a half promoting their microphone, and they let me keep it. So there you go.
It sounds really good.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, thanks so much, man. Yeah, it's one of my favorite microphones. So nothing against that.
Okay. I'll talk to you soon, guys. All right, thanks a lot.
Right. So.
I remember that. When he was talking, I remember that story from the podcast where he got recognized. He, you know, he did the Spanish. He lives in Spain, but English. You know, yeah. It's funny that he came back up again.
Why am I laughing? I just hung up on myself. Oh,
nicely done.
I was like, I even labeled itself me, and I'm like, oh. And as soon as it's one of those where your hand and your eyes go into slow mo, you're like, no. So if you're
don't go towards the light.
Exactly. So if you're calling the show, hold on a second.
Give it a second. Yeah, don't call back in just yet. You'll be on hold for a minute.
It was like, the good news is I have this
calling studios, yes. Host and call screen.
Yes, there we go. And I have
it happens. It's not a big deal.
Andrew, you are 6 days.
Okay.
That's kind of fun, though. That is really, I mean, to Craig's question while you're doing that, Dave.
Welcome.
I think that's really a personal question.
Sorry about that.
I don't know. I don't think there is a like a standard where you should go with a network or you should go everything individually. Certainly there's some, you know, it kind of depends on how you're going to market it and will people be drawn to your site. So I tell people all the time, you know, I go to what's the average guy.tv? Well, that from a podcast branding perspective, honestly, not very good because it doesn't have the word podcast in it. It doesn't have network in it. It doesn't have a lot of things that tell people what it even is, right? It has to be a very personal connection for that to happen. So for me, that's probably not the greatest branding, where askthepodcastcoach.com is it's exactly what you think it is, right? And so it's easy to send people that way. But Dave, in your case, when you have two or three or four shows and you're like, well, I'm a podcaster. Well, you can go to the school of podcasting.com, or you can go to askthepodcastcoach.com, or you can go to logicalweightloss.com, or you can go to daveiscool.com. You know, you start blowing out all these addresses, right? So that's a drawback.
Well, one of the things I just did, Mike Howard was telling me how cool Aveda is, and I bought it. I never used it. I threw it on davidjackson.org. And it's a work in progress, as every website is. And right now it just has my podcast stuff. And I think I threw in weekly web tools because I thought, that audience might like that as well. And it's got a slider at the top now. And the cool thing about Aveda is it has a lot of options. The bad thing about Aveda, it has a lot of options. Holy cow. Learning curve out the, once you get it, there's a lot of stuff, kind of like almost like Audacity and all the anything you get something that's versatile. There's always a bit of a learning curve. So I've seen some other websites that look cooler than this, but I was like, okay, because I thought about doing a network so I could say, hey, you know, go to whatever edutainment.com. And I'm like, no, you can't spell that. Go to, you know, daviscool.com, I think was taken. So I'm like, well, my blog, davidjackson.org, actually was the first time that I didn't have a blog. And so I'm like, oh, let's do the blog thing. And I did. And it actually ranks pretty high for podcast consulting. Otherwise, I would have killed it many moons ago and just blogged at School of Podcasting. But I'm like, well, you know, they kind of both point at each other and help in SEO. But so I'm looking to maybe make that my network. Since it's already getting traffic, and that way, if somebody says, well, where can I find all your podcasting stuff? I can just go to davidjackson.org. It's all right there. Or usually I just point people to schoolpodcasting.com.
Well, the cross promotional between those podcasts is what's really important. So if you're going to split up your network, make sure you're being very, very smart about cross branding so that if people do, you know, so Dave, I might meet you at Podcasters Movement, and maybe for the first time, I don't know how that's possible, but I do. And all I can remember is Dave Jackson. So I go, well, maybe it's davejackson.com. Well, not that one. Davejackson.net. Well, not that one. Okay, davejackson.org. Boom, I find you. Then you need to have all those. Okay, and by the way, here's all the things in the network that we have. And so that's and that's good for SEO, to be honest, to be able to cross-link a lot of those. It's just a lot of work to keep them, to keep WordPress, you know, say you got four WordPress themes.
Yeah.
They all have updates, right? We just updated to WordPress 4.0, which I will not use yet, and we can talk about that here in a second if we want, but it's you got to go in, make sure your plugins are up to date, make sure they're being backed up. I mean, I manage four WordPress sites right now, only one of them's mine, but it is, whenever I see an update, I'm like, oh crap, I got to go out now. I've got to update those, you know, all that stuff.
You got to check out, I think it's WP Commander. It's a website that you can manage all of your websites from one interface. And I want to say it's free for so many sites and then like 10 bucks a month, things like that. Randy Cantrell has an interesting question. Mike Russell of Music Radio Creative split out what was one podcast into four. So rather than producing one 20 to 30 minute podcast, he now has four shorter ones, all segments by topics from audio production to internet marketing. What do you think of this strategy? He says, I don't find myself listening to him nearly as often as before. Well, I say I stayed subscribed to his original feed, which he now is using as a master feed. The thing that really blew me away about that, this is a guy, they went through weeks of getting their audio brand right. They rebranded Music Radio Creative, and their new show from an audio branding company has no audio branding, which is kind of interesting because it proves you can just start the show because they go, hello, I'm Mike, I'm Isabella, and then they go into their topic. And I definitely listen to the shows, but I've actually thought about that for these. I've pondered that thought for a while of making the School of Podcasting shorter and having a show on Monday and having a show on Friday. And between you and me, I'm this close to doing that as a test in October just to see what happens.
Anytime you change your audience, you're going to drop people. That's just the way it goes. People Ooh. Are going to like the way it was before. You're going to make it. Trust
That's
me.
That's true.
You're going to hear from your audience. Because they get in patterns, right? They get used to things. Dave, change your intro music on, maybe not on this show because it's still kind of new, but School of Podcasting, change that. You know, hit it, ladies.
Yeah.
You change that. If you said that and then play different music, I guarantee you, you're going to get emails. I don't like that music, right?
Oh, yeah.
So – yeah, anytime you, whether it was really cool or not, I mean, you could have David Lee Roth sing it and they still wouldn't like it. But so anytime you make changes, your audience is going to react. Speaking of David Lee Roth. So, is that a good idea to split that up? I think when it makes logical sense to do that, maybe yes. But just anytime you make a change, you're going to get negative feedback. So just get ready for that. Yeah. That doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. That doesn't mean if you're trying to head down a path. I mean, I've done this recently where I have Home Gadget Geeks, and then I split out one called Home Tech Tips. And the goal of Home Tech Tips is really to find little tidbits that are between 7 and 10 minutes long that people can consume very quickly. My regular listeners don't want 7 to 10 minutes. That's why they listen to an hour and 20 minutes of on the podcast, right? So if I replace that feed with 10 7-minute podcasts during the week, they'd freak out on me. They're like, Jim, what are you doing? That's not what we're listening to. Yeah. So I created a new show, put those shorter tips in there, and honestly, I'm using that as YouTube evangelism, right? Because I know SEO is so strong on YouTube and search is so strong. I try to link – this is going to sound bad. I try to link bait those on YouTube to get people to watch them, and then I send some links back to my longer stuff. So,
yeah, and the only reason I would even think about that, and this is why you shouldn't go look at stats. I went and looked at my Stitcher stats, and I'm better than what their average is for people listening to the end. It was like 58% of the people didn't make it to the end of the show.
Yeah, but.
But that, there's a lot of things that could do that. Maybe it's a 20-minute drive to the car, you know, to work.
There's a lot of factors in that, and we have no idea, again, if they're cutting that off. Are they counting it if they stop it in the middle? You know, if it's a 15-minute commute and they stop listening at 15 minutes and then come back to it, is that included in there?
Right.
Dave, we've talked about this before. I would caution anyone using Stitcher stats to go – they're only listening to half my podcast, because half of them, if half of them are listening to it all and the other half are listening to 1 minute, guess what? It's going to look like half are only listening to, or they're all listening to it halfway. So be careful with those numbers.
I need to follow my own advice and ask my audience. I'll just put up a poll and say, hey, what do you guys think? And I'll just, the thing I'll do is I'll be smart this time and ask the question at the beginning of the show. Because one time I did it, I asked at the end of the show, well, the people that listen to the end of the show are going to say, no, I love the length. The people that think it's too long tuned out at the 22-minute mark. So,
Yeah, if you have an engaged listening audience, the more changes you make, I think the more difficult it is for them, because they're there because they really like what you do. And when you start listen, when I get in my car on Monday mornings and I see your podcast and I listen to school podcasting, one, because I know I'm going to podcast with you the next Saturday, and I want to make sure I'm staying current with what you're talking about. But that's my routine, right? When it's not there, I get really mad. I'm like, oh, Dave, why didn't you post that? And it doesn't happen very often. But every Monday morning, that's my routine. I listen to half of it on the way in, half of it on the way home, and then I wrap it up Tuesday morning. If you were to change that rhythm in some way, I would be like, why are you messing with me?
That is – somebody asked once about I said there are stats out there that show that you don't have to be – every week or whatever your schedule is. Like Joe Rogan has a really weird schedule, and Dan Carlin, something history show. I know Rob quotes these guys a lot, that they don't have a regular schedule, but yet they still have like some of the most downloaded podcasts. And I get that. But you just mentioned something that I always tell people. I said, you become part of a routine. You become part of people's routine. I had people for a while that used to listen to The Marketing Musician. They say, hey, I start every Monday with you, because they knew for years I hit every Monday. Now I don't do that anymore, and that's why my numbers went. But for a while it was. So.
Well, guess what? If you took School of Podcasting and you split it in half on Monday and half on Friday, you would start attracting an audience that liked that. Yeah. And after 6 months to a year, if you put it back into one big podcast, they'd be like, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah, sure.
We're right. And so, it's a little bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy in some ways, in the sense that you will begin to attract the audience that likes what you do. And if you do it long enough and then change it, you're gonna get that feedback. And some folks love it and some folks don't. And you have to decide what you're going to do for you. I mean, ask your audience, but at the end of the day, you got to figure out what you want to do for you too. If they want daily, like if my listener said, I want a daily tech podcast, I'd be like, screw you. I can't, there's no way I can do that. Okay. It's not going to happen. And so it's just one of those things. You can't always listen to your audience. You have to kind of go with what works for you too. This is where, if you're always playing to the numbers, you're chasing a dog that you'll never catch the tail.
That is true. And it goes back to quit worrying about your numbers and just make your content and let the chips fall.
Use the numbers for what they're intended for, right? Make minor corrections or major ones. You might need to make major corrections to get things done, but use it for that. But, at the end of the day, we're content creators. Create content.
Right.
Put it out there.
Well, you mentioned the music. I don't know that I have it anywhere in here, but I had for a while I was playing a clip about, hey, if you give me 3 listens, doggone it, and I don't have it. Yes, here it is, I think. This thing, right? And I had a guy write in. Oh, I want to say hello to every single one. Right. And I had a guy write in that said, dude, if you play that again, I'm unsubscribing. That music gets on my nerves, and it's annoying. And I get your point, but it's too long, and please don't ever, ever, ever play that again. And I went, okay. So, but it's weird because I only did that for about a month, and I still have people go, yeah, you're the listen to 3 times guy. I'm like, all right, I made my point.
Music is such a hard thing because it's so, everyone's so opinionated about the music. And some folks start their podcast with music or different kinds of music every week. Mm-hmm. And people get super, that's one of those, it's like coffee. People get snobbish about their music and they're like, oh, you like this and I like that. And these guys are the greatest musicians ever. And these guys never were. And this was junk. And, it's an opinion kind of thing. And, I shy away. We really shy away from as much music as we can on that, 'cause it's not a music podcast and I'm not a music guy. So that's what I've chosen, just to not make music the thing to fight over.
Yeah, because I've seen music derail a podcast before it even gets going, because they've got the name, they've got the website, and it's like, okay, we need an intro music, and they can't decide on what it is. And I'm like, you can always change it later. Mark Maron, when he first started, was using AC/DC, which technically was illegal. And then when he started to get big, I think somebody finally made his, like a listener sent in, they said that whatever his little guitar thing is, that somebody sent that in and said, here, use this as your theme music. And people have his audience has taken that music and they've made little mashups of it and different speed it up and slow down.
That would be fun, is to have maybe an audience contest for it and say, hey, you know, let's take advantage, make sure you have sign offs that they're allowing you to use that music and such. And that's not, you know, that's the, it, music is hard. Mike Phillips said in the chat, that's the quickest way to get sued over podcasting. It probably is.
Yeah.
So, you know, one has to be careful, and certainly you don't want to go musicless, but you know, it's one of those danger zones that we have to tread in.
Yeah. Music podcasts are, I'm doing this. I'm working on an episode. It's going to be out probably before the end of the year. And I'm interviewing people that are in radio. And it's interesting because a lot of guys that are, you know, legitimate DJs, they're very much like podcasters. They got into it because they love music. I was talking with Eric K. Johnson, Mr. PodcastTalentCoach.com, and he was explaining, he goes, if I pulled down his barrier, his little, you know, curtain, he has like, I forget how many, he has like bookcases built into the wall. He has like thousands of CDs and hundreds of vinyl and even cassettes. And, you know, so it was interesting to hear again. It's the passion thing that comes through. But a music podcast is a tough gig at this point, because finding music that you can play, you know, there are great sites like musicalley.com, but that's at times, because I tried that at one point. I was going to do a music show, and finding stuff that I could literally say, I like this song. That can be tough sometimes, because I did a show once called Best of the Worst, where I would find really, really horrible music and play that and then goof on it. But I found that to be somewhat mean-spirited, so I quit doing that show. But anyway.
It's tough. Music is a tough deal. And Randy Cantrell just posted a nice video in the chat room of a dog chasing his tail around a chair. And that's exactly what that's like sometimes when you follow your audience stats. That's not clickable, so you have to copy and paste it. But, Randy, that's exactly what I'm talking about sometimes when you chase your stats.
And last week you were talking about possibly starting an Omaha podcasters meetup.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, not possibly. We got it done on Monday. Yeah. So it was when things went live with National Podcast Day, which, by the way, September 30th.
Yes.
Head out to nationalpodcastday.com for the details. If you're a podcaster, you should support this, by the way. They've got all kinds of resources. Steve's done a nice job. Steve Lee has done a nice job of pulling everybody together. He seems to be the face of it, so we'll mention his name. Dave, I know you've done some work on it as well on the back end. But they've got some great resources, some banners, some things you can put in your social sites. He's got a really cool page, a social page, that's got a $16 plugin that actually you can set up and track different social accounts by searching, by name, by whatever. And it just it auto-populates a whole page of what's going on with whatever you're searching for on Facebook or Twitter or some of those. It's just kind of like a social wall. It's pretty cool. So you can check that out as well. But we on Monday started chatting about it, and so another podcaster here in town, I said, hey, do you want to do this? And he said, absolutely. I just met this guy the other day. And so we are putting together – we can't do the 30th, but we're going to do September 29th here in Omaha. If you're listening to this and you're in Omaha, contact me. Or I gave Dave the link to our Omaha Podcasters of Eventbrite, which, by the way, free events. Eventbrite is free. Great way to do meetups. Although I learned the other day, meetup.com has amazing SEO when it comes to meetups. So if you're going to do your meetup, you might want to spend a few dollars and go with meetup.com to put those meetups on there. But let me encourage you to do one in the local area. So we have ours going. Dave, I didn't buy the URL. I didn't buy omahapodcasters.com. Not for now. I just set that. I know you have clevelandpodcasters.com. And you're getting together on the 30th as well?
Yeah. Yeah, so I saw that you know, you'd set up the Eventbrite thing. I'm like, all right, cool, he's pulling the trigger. So
yeah, no, it's good, and you should too. If you're listening to this and you're a podcaster in your area, it doesn't have to be big. We have four people signed up for us. We're going to meet at Bricks in Omaha. Bricks is a snobby wine place, but they have half-price drinks and appetizers on Monday, so it worked out really, really well for us.
Now we know why it's on Monday. Okay.
That's exactly right. No, I picked the day before I knew it was half price, but we picked the day, then we picked the restaurant. And so do it. Set it up. Gather some folks locally. tweet about it, promote National Podcast Day. It'd be great if we'd get behind this and really make this make it maybe the first ever. And then you can say then I was the first year we did this. You know, when your meetup is gigantic and it's horribly successful 10 years from now and you got thousands of people coming to it, you can say, ah, back in the day.
That's right. I remember when we
met. I can't do it like you do.
We met at that pizza place and we all had half-price drinks and sauerkraut and meatballs. And then we all got sick early. It was a great time. So, but wow, an hour went really quick today.
Boom. And we had somebody from Spain call in. And Uzbekistan was represented in the chat room.
Yes. And I wanted to, if you go to JPEG2RAW.com, we were talking about Aveda today. I'm going to go look at that because I like this theme. I'm still playing with I can't get the fonts to do what I want it to do. And I need to dig through that lovely thing called the documentation that everybody loves to, you know, I just want to play and click. But like anything else with a learning curve, you got to put the time in. But so, Mike, thanks for sharing that. I will go check out and see what's possible with that theme. But yeah, we are here every Saturday. AskThePodcastCoach.com/live. Jim, where can people find you?
TheAverageGuy.tv.
And there's an example of a network that you can check out. You can find you can find me over at schoolofpodcasting.com. Want to say a special thanks to the chat room. It's always interesting because there's like a whole separate show going on over there. It's like, oh wow, they're talking about this and that, and it's as a person who is slightly ADD, it's always fun on Saturday morning for me to like
watch. You have to kind of not watch the chat room but watch them.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know? So, but thanks so much for tuning in, and we will see you next Saturday. We're always here. AskThePodcastCoach.com/live, and take care.